Again, I welcome everyone to the services here at the Mooresville Church of Christ. It is a beautiful day and more beautiful because you are here that we might gather together to sing songs of praise unto God and to look into His Word and to hear a sermon from His Word. We're going to ask a question this morning. And that's the title of the sermon, Why Learn the Word of God? Now, we know that we are subject to making mistakes. I've made several this morning, and thankfully, there have been brethren that have said, hey, by the way, Dennis, you have announcements. Why are you sitting down? And then I called out the wrong song. Why learn the Word of God? I can shorten this sermon by a lot by saying, you know what? The more we know the Word of God, the less mistakes we're going to make in our service to God. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't make the kind of mistakes I made this morning, and hopefully I've made all that I'm going to make thus far. But there's an obvious problem with many of the religious organizations of today. Sadly, the same malady affects many members of the Lord's church. That is, they don't know the Word of God. It's apparent when folks teach different things, doctrines, those things that come from different sources, that they are divided on what they understand or what they think they know relative to the Word of God. They come from different sources. Some teaching religious things differing from someone else often say, well, we just understand the Bible or we understand religion differently. That can't be so. Either one understands it and the other one does not, or both of them misunderstand it. Or if they understood it properly, then both of them would agree 100%. One cannot understand things differently. God's word, when learned and fully followed, will bring everyone to the same conclusion, the same understanding, that we might be of the same mind. And so we're going to examine this subject this morning by looking at God's people in the Old Testament as well as in the New. And we're going to show that God's will is always that folks, especially His people, learn the Word of God. For a text, I've chosen Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1. I chose this because this was in the Old Testament, where God had a written word for His people, people that He had separated out. And we know that He gave this word to Moses and Moses delivered it to the people. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1, one of the times in which this was repeated, Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them. And keep and do them. This is basically the premise behind the answer for why learn the Word of God. The context is in Deuteronomy. He repeated the law for the benefit of the Israelites who were going into Canaan. And as chapter 5 begins, Moses called on the Israelites to hear the statutes and judgments that he was delivering. He mentioned these three responsibilities in connection with God's statutes, God's judgments, God's law, that which is contained within His Word, to learn them, to keep them, and to do them. God will bless those who keep His Word. If you turn to Psalms 119, verse 2, we'll see this. Notice that this is not a casual adherence to the Word of God. It's not a partial obedience of some sort. One cannot partially obey. They will either obey or disobey. They will either keep the commandments of God or they will not keep the commandments of God. If we've not kept all of the commandments of God, that those that we know about and we've learned and we've studied and we know that are properly applied, then if we've not kept any of them or all of them or even some of them, we are disobedient to God. We must be diligent, daily dedicated to knowing what God wants. He's commanded it in His Word. and we must strive to follow it. There the psalmist was directed to write, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." In other words, our primary focus and function here on this earth is to know what God would have us do and do it so that we can be pleasing to him as we prepare ourselves to spend eternity with him. Which brings us to do his word. This time we're going to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. It's very much like keeping the word, but doing specifically indicates active participation. That's important. Some people say, well, I read the word of God and I look at the word of God and I keep the word of God. And then by their actions, you can see that they do not do the word of God. In Revelation 22 and verse 14, he said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." But before we can keep the word of God, before we can do the word of God, we must learn it. So we're going to concentrate on several principles that relate to learning God's word. The first point we need to make is that God wants his people to learn his word. He did not, down through centuries, have these 40 men or so that were selected to receive the word of God through inspiration and pen it. He did not spend all this time and have all these people involved for us to not learn what he would have done. A great deal of effort and a great deal of time went into what we have now as the Holy Bible. God does want his people to learn his word, and the principle is taught in both the Old and the New Testament. From the Old Testament, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. It's one of many passages which stresses the importance of learning God's word, teaching it to our children and our young folks. When you stop and think about it, if every generation followed what is found in this particular passage, many of the problems that the folks face today, especially in the religious world, would be diminished. The church building would be full. We would have more workers in the kingdom. Of course, this was the old law. This was just to Israel, and it was directed to those Israelite parents. Said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And what follows next would naturally be, if we love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with our might, "these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." You know, ask somebody what they're thinking about. You ever done that? What are you thinking about? I have no idea why this happens, but 9 times out of 10, when somebody asks me that, I go blank. Maybe I'm not thinking. But what do you think about? Christians should think about the Word of God. God's people in Israel should have thought about the Word of God. And notice this, verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Notice, he has allowed for the provisions so that we can provide for ourselves in life, so that we can have rest, so that we can have some leisure time. But also, during that, we always are to keep God's word at the center of our life. It's the stabilizing force for our lives. And if we do this, we're going to learn. And to summarize, Israel was commanded to put the word of God in their mind. And it can only be accomplished by reading, studying, and meditating upon that word. In addition to this, they were to teach their children. They were to teach them to learn how to teach their children, yet unborn, when they came, what God would have them do. You know, if they would have done this, they would have avoided a number of mistakes that cost them dearly. This was to be a perpetual thing throughout their generations. and it would help them avoid those problems that plagued them from the wandering in the wilderness till the time of the establishment of the church and beyond. In the New Testament, the same thing applies. God wants his people to learn his word. And today, not every religious person is a child of God. I will say that many, many religious people desire to be a child of God. But because they're not following the word of God, they have not yet learned or have been taught what to do to become a child of God. But in the New Testament, those who are children of God will see from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 that various methods can be used to implant God's word in the heart of a person. You know, a Bible principle that is sung in song is often easier to remember and recall than a lecture. It's easier to recall, perhaps, than a sermon or a class. Some people have the ability to remember songs and bring them up. They have a little index card in their head, in a Rolodex or something. And somebody will say something about something. Oh, that reminds me of a song. Why? Because that song is associated with that thought from God's word, and they'll sing that song. Think about it. Don't you better remember a Bible fact or a list that is encased in song than through rote memorization? I still haven't quite figured out how to memorize. Still working on that one. But we'll get there. But what does he say there? He's telling those brethren, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. This is daily. This passage is not talking about just the worship service. Yes, the worship service is part of our lives, but it's talking about daily. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We can also see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 that because there are great benefits associated with learning God's word, we should deeply desire to know more of it. Starting with the milk and then progressing to the meat. You know, we apply this in life. We do not take our children and when they start kindergarten, handing them a calculus book and saying, here, you learn this and you're going to be an engineer. No, we get them to learn the ABCs. There it goes, another mistake. We teach them their ABCs. We teach them their 1, 2, 3s. We teach them the foundation. And then they are able to build upon it. What does Peter say as the Spirit directed him? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He's not saying that all Christians are newborn babes. He's saying as newborn babes, just like newborn babes do, desire the milk of the word. And you know, it's not too awful long when that baby sees mom and dad putting a fork or a spoon in their mouths. And they want to do the same thing. It's so interesting to watch children. Sometimes you can see them and, oh, they still want that bottle. But you take a spoon and put it close to their face, what are they going to do? Mouth comes open. But that's what we should do. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Receive that nourishment. Receive that foundation. And then build upon it that ye may grow thereby. One reason that we must follow these instructions is that failure to learn God's word results in disaster. Yeah, I mentioned school children. You know, I think somebody did a huge injustice one time when they said, we're going to come up with a new program, No Child Left Behind. That would have been all well and good instead of we're going to properly instruct every child so that they will absolutely get it, they will pass their test, they will move on to the next grade. No, that ain't what it did. It said, okay, we're going to lower the standard to the point that just about anybody, okay, you were here 14 days out of last month and you were here all of the days of that month. You did pretty good. Pass, you're on. Our education department in this country has let our children down. The church will let its people down if they don't teach them to read and learn and do the will of God. Again, this principle is taught in both the Old and the New Testaments. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, the Spirit had Paul tell the church at Rome that the example of God's Old Testament people's failures are recorded and provided through inspiration that the church might learn, and that in learning not make the same mistakes many of the Old Testament people made. For whatsoever things were written for aforetime were written for our learning, that we, the church, the writing to the church at Rome, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. In the Old Testament, God's people went into captivity when they failed to learn and follow the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 13, we read of one of these times. Know as you're turning through that passage that failure to learn God's word has a cost associated with it. That's why we are told to study. That's why we're told to read. That's why we're told to meditate. There in Isaiah 5:3, therefore my people are gone into captivity. Notice why. Because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. See what might have been avoided by learning the word of God? They perhaps would have been more pleasing to God. They perhaps would not have forsaken God. They perhaps would not have brought upon themselves. A lot of times people, these problems, a lot of times people say, well, why did God let that happen? No. The people caused that to happen by their choices. By their refusal to learn the word of God. Perhaps we should also visit Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. We'll see a lack of knowledge of God's word is often because of refusal to put forth the effort to learn it. I have heard every excuse perhaps possible. Every once in a while somebody comes up with a new one about why they didn't have opportunity in the past week to read the word of God, to study the word of God, to come to Bible study. I think every Christian ought to be in every Bible study that is available to them. Because it's not just because the teacher wants more people there. It's because the communication that occurs in a good Bible class will spark an interest. It will spark a little bit of knowledge here and there. Something somebody else is going to say is going to help you understand a concept, a passage. Again, the situation in Hosea is disastrous. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. It's important for us to realize and understand this precept that was put forth to God's people in the Old Testament still exists today. If we reject the knowledge of the Word of God, then God will also reject us. And we can't blame God for it. He brought His Word to us down through the centuries. Through inspiration, He has provided for us that which will lead us to life. And there's no reason for us to be rejecting it or to be destroyed. Then he says, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Again, he's not taking out his vengeance upon them, on the children. They forgot the law of God. Therefore, they didn't teach their children the law of God. And therefore, the children don't know. And that's why those children would be lost. You know, going into activity was bad enough, but the worst disaster associated with failing to learn the scriptures is revealed in the words of Christ himself before the New Testament began. We find this in John chapter 12 and verse 48. Jesus, speaking to the Jews, was constantly telling them to repent because the kingdom was at hand. But notice what he was telling these people. He was telling these people for their own good. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What was he saying? He was saying, you know, my Father sent to you people the word. He's talking to the Jews. And in that word, you have the prophecies of the Messiah. They were looking for the Messiah. They wanted the Messiah. When he came to his own, and his own received him not. And then they rejected his teaching while here on earth. And all he was simply telling them was repent, go back to the law, follow the law. Follow the law of Moses. That's the law they were under. Why? To prepare yourselves for the coming of the kingdom. And they refused. The kingdom, the church, has been purchased by the blood of Christ. It is in place, and we are in it. So this information should impress us today with the importance of learning God's word. It was important enough that Jesus Christ, before he died, said, if you reject me, the word that I speak will judge you at the last day. But in the New Testament, we have the same warnings. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, there's one place that tells us this. Those without knowledge of the word of God don't see what their demise will be when the trumpet sounds. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised because they don't know the word of God. There's going to be a lot of people that are secure in their own minds, according to their own thoughts, that they are saved, and they're going to be surprised. Many have been deluded into thinking that God, being a merciful God, is going to save everyone at the end. But that's not what God says in his word, is it? Stop and think about it. However long our life is, we've been given that amount of time to hear the word of God, to do the word of God, to seek to serve God faithfully, to please him. Not everyone's going to go to heaven. And the brethren there in Thessalonica were told this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Notice this. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who don't find the time to know God through knowing his word are going to suffer. Those who have never obeyed the gospel are going to suffer. And he says in verse 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know why they're going to be surprised? They don't even know that's in there. We need to know the promises. We need to know the joy that could be ours by being a child of God, by preparing ourselves for eternity with him. But we also need to be aware of the warnings. God wants us to learn his word, and failure to do so results in disaster. But let us also turn our attention to the fact that many special blessings are associated with God's word. These blessings are revealed in both the Old and the New Testament. From the Old Testament, we see that cleansing is a benefit from the word of God. Again, we go back to Psalms 119, this time verse 9. It tells how the young man or the young person can rid themselves of the stain of the things of this world. And it's a very simple process. Learn the word of God. Do as instructed in the word of God. Follow it. Obey it. And then live a clean life. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We want to be a better person. Take heed to the word of God. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, we find that the learning of the word of God provides one with power to overcome temptation. Do you have a temptation that seems to always sneak up on you? And you find yourself in a situation and you succumb to the temptation and you say, man, why am I doing this? I know it's wrong. Everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy or something. No, it's a real thing. It happens. I've talked to people with that situation. It seems like I'm on a treadmill, like a hamster. It's that same circle. I do it, and I see it, and I say it's wrong, but I keep going that way. Romans chapter 7 deals with that, but we're not going to go there just yet. We're still in Psalms. This time, in verse 11 of Psalms 119, the psalmist was directed to write, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart." Why? That I might not sin against thee. And we will also see in verse 105 of the same book and chapter, Psalms 119, that God's word gives one the direction that our soul needs. The word of God illuminates one's path, so they are by far less likely to stumble and fall. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But it didn't stop with just the Old Testament. There are blessings that are stated and put forth in God's New Testament as well. First, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we can increase our knowledge of Christ. We don't want to know just enough to get by. We want to know enough to be pleasing to God. Always, as we grow, the more we grow, the more we know. The more we know, the better we can realize how to serve God and do His will. How else are we going to grow in grace? How else are we going to gain knowledge of God or Christ unless we access what God sent through this Holy Spirit? And Peter warns there, by inspiration, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. The New Testament is also building us up as Christians. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, we see that when Paul was there with the Ephesian elders, he was telling them this very thing. You know, we can allow the Word of God to build us up today if we will let it. But how can it build you up if you don't know what it says? How can it build you up if you don't know how to apply it? And he said to those men, perhaps the last time that they laid eyes upon each other, this side of glory. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Those alone would be enough benefits. But if we will learn the Word of God, we'll also have all of the benefits it provides. You know, one such benefit is learning God's will increase our faith. If we learn the Word of God, it will increase our faith. Now, we learn this from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. One cannot have sound Bible faith without learning and knowing the Word of God. A lot of people have faith. But is it sound Bible faith? That's the only faith that God accepts. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we don't hear the word of God, how's our faith going to grow? If we don't read and study the word of God, how's our faith going to grow? We were already told, but grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. How could one believe in God or follow God without a proper understanding of His Word? How could we do that without God's Word to guide our thoughts? People say, well, you know, it's hard. I can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Learning the Word of God is also equipping one completely to do His will. You ever stop to think about that? I know a lot of times we say, I can't do it because I don't have this. That's a guy thing, you know. I got to go to the store and buy another tool. I don't have this. I can't do it. We don't have that excuse when it comes to God's word, do we? Turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We're going to clearly see there how we got the word, how profitable it is, and how it benefits us. First and foremost, how we got it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's not a word in there. One time somebody had a question or had a comment and says, what about John 9:31? It was spoken by an uninspired man. Well, somebody needed to point out to him, the person who recorded that was receiving it by inspiration, and therefore it is the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17 tells us why. That the man of God may be perfect. That means whole, truly furnished unto all good works. We have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's no excuse. It's right here between the pages of this cover. And upon the front of it says the Holy Bible. But most importantly, learning the word of God will save your soul if it is followed. In James chapter 1, verse 21, the scattered brethren were admonished in that very point. The wording of this clearly shows that one must take an active part in staying saved after obeying the gospel and becoming saved. You know, I think there are going to be countless numbers of souls that have been, for whatever reason, allowed themselves to be deluded into thinking that all I have to do is become saved and then I can live my life, and then when this life is over, I'll be one of the people that says, oh, you're one of the saved. No. One has to become saved, and then one has to remain saved. Get ready. And then stay ready. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Hadn't these people already received the word? Oh, at least part of it. How else will they know what to do to become a child of God? But then what? The word was being delivered to them at that time. And it is available to us in its entirety now. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. I want you to notice something here. There are two things required here. Set aside, resist, or lay apart anything that is not in full accordance with the word of God. We have got to be willing to give these things up. These things which will cause us to lose our soul. Lay aside the weight which does so easily beset us. We must run with patience that race, but we must also at the same time humbly receive or fully accept what God has caused to be written as the authority. We need to do it as God directs, and we need to apply ourselves 100% to it. What will happen? You know, there's benefits in this life as well. We think about the benefits of knowing God's word and doing God's word, and we think heaven, right? Sure. And that's what we should all think about. But what about here? Is it going to be a bed of roses? No. Talk to anybody. Pick a person at random. I don't care who it is. And get them to really talk about their life. I don't care if they're saint or sinner. If they're a Christian, if they're a denominationalist, if they're a heathen. They're going to tell you that there's some negatives about life. Why? Because that's what life is. It's a time where there are negatives. There are also positives. But in this life, a Christian, one who learning the word of God, one who is striving to know the word of God, will experience spiritual growth. And that will help us here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Again, tells us how to start that growth. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And one more point. We need to show why God's word provides these blessings. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 shows that God's word is alive and it's active. It's not a dead work from ages past. It applies as properly today as it did when it was penned, when the Spirit gave it, when man received it in the first century. It tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But we also see what Christ said about the things he had to say while here on earth. We find one of these things in John chapter 6 and verse 63, and it provides for us this inspired record. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." Friends, the words of Christ are the words of God. And if we allow it, his word will guide our minds and lead us one day to eternity with him. In our text, Moses called upon God's people to learn his word. Today, upon learning God's word, we are to keep it and to do it. And one of the keys to learning God's word is to hear it frequently and to read it daily. There is a suggestion that needs to be made for hearing God's word properly. We need to develop a proper attitude toward the scriptures. The psalmist did that in Psalms 119:97. And this is an inspired approach. We need to adopt this and we need to put it into practice. He said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Why learn the word of God? Because it will save your soul. And a failure to learn and do and keep the word of God will cause you to lose your soul. One must love the law of God, but one must obey the law of God first to become a child of God. We're told in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that one must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And one of the most popular passages relative to this is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." One must also repent, again from Jesus Christ himself. In Luke 13:3, he repeated it in verse 5. "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And one must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Romans 10 and verse 10, we see that from the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then the first part of 1 Peter 3:21 tells us when that salvation is realized, when the promise is given, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. And yes, from that point forward, having made that commitment, part of that commitment should be to continually learn the word of God. But we've got to remain faithful unto death. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, we'll see that those Christians who were Jews by nature, or by nationality, were warned. And the same warning applies today. It says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For they, if they escape not who received him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." God has spoken, and he's written it down for us, and we have it. Let's learn it. Let's do it. Let's obey it. If you're not a child of God this morning, you need to be. God has provided you every opportunity, the opportunity to hear the word of God, the opportunity to yield yourself to him. And this is the way to do it. You've heard the word of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent? Have you repented of your past sins? Are you willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized into Christ? You can become a child of God. And then you begin that journey from earth to heaven, remaining faithful until death. But perhaps you're here and you're an erring Christian, one who has allowed sin within their lives. And yes, Christians sin. And sometimes those sins are private in nature, and they need to be addressed privately. Make sure we repent and ask God for forgiveness. But if that sin is public in nature, it needs to be addressed publicly. If shame and reproach has been brought upon the church, that needs to be corrected publicly. Simon was told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." We're going to open our song books now and go to the selected hymn. Has your stubborn will yielded? If so, now is the time, and here's the place. Let us stand and let us sing.